Hello, and welcome to Live to Grasp. I'm Brian Naylor, and joining me on the other line is Mike Rifo. On today's podcast, we're going to be previewing Super Bowl 56. What is up, dude?
Man, good to be back. Wait until the last minute, but we're back, baby.
Yeah, holy God, has it been a long time.
Yeah, we took a little hiatus, I guess you could say. But
sabbatical.
I think maybe next year we won't have, you know, two newborns, so we could actually have a little bit more time to spend on, you know, away from our family and just talk football.
Yeah, and a job change in there too.
Yeah,
on top of raising kids during a pandemic, you know, all that normal shit.
Yeah, just normal stuff.
Just normal shit.
But I did want to tell you with the you and I shared a soccer. It wasn't English Premier League because it was an FA Cup. I know you don't know what the FA Cup is, but
no idea what any of this is.
But you took my bet, and I didn't realize that you were going to give me a little bit of a share of that. And I told you I had no interest in that, but you PayPal'd it to me anyway. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to send it back to you. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to donate it to a charity, but a charity that he doesn't like.
So there you go.
So I'm trying to find a charity that's based in Dallas that's all about soccer and has something to do with clowns. And until I do that, I feel like once I find that charity, I'm going to give them a donation in your name. So I'll let you know. Hopefully they'll send us a plaque or something.
Well, the Dallas Clown Club is going to be really excited about getting their first donation.
First of all, Dallas Clown Soccer Club. Let's get it right. Maybe I'll throw something else in there. I just got to figure out all the stuff that you don't like or hate and put it all in one charity.
So you're going to start your own?
You're going to launch it with charity.
With a $25 bet I sent you on PayPal.
Yep, that's what we're going to do. Start a charity.
Good luck. All right, so for this week, we're going to talk a little bit at the top about who we like in the game at the spread. And then we're going to kind of get into our logic for how we think the game's going to go, which will kind of lead into prop bets. We each took our five favorite prop bets. I have a couple more than that I could tack on the end, just stuff that I thought was interesting.
Same here. The first five, I think, are our favorites. And then there's some other ones that we're probably going to sprinkle some moolah on.
Yeah. They're not a lot of structure, just based on some of these were we really like. Some of these are kind of lukewarm, but they're interesting. So it's just going to kind of be streaming consciousness for the next, whatever, 15 minutes. Yeah, so we're going to start with the game. The game is taking place in Los Angeles. So after 54 years of never having a home game for the Super Bowl, back-to-back years, there's going to be a participant in the Super Bowl that it's a home game for. So that's a little weird. I like Cincinnati. I'm seeing them at +4.5 at a lot of different places. Mike likes the Rams. He's been seeing them at +4.
-4.
Well, I guess that should probably transition to how we think the game is going to play out.
Yeah.
I could start first. I think we're on different sides of this a little bit. So I'll start first with kind of how I see it going. And then, so I'm going with Cincinnati +4.5. I think I like the combination of, you know, for Cincinnati, you have an elite quarterback, an elite running back, an elite wide receiver, an elite kicker. So I think I love McPherson. When you have all those skill positions covered, I think the offense is really daunting. And Burrow is an interesting guy in and of himself. A lot of stats flying around. So he's never lost a playoff game in college or pros. He's 9-0. And he's all, it's a little bit more about his attitude too, because when some of these Super Bowls start, you know, there's always a little bit of nerves in the first quarter, all that stuff. And I think that could especially happen to Stafford a little bit. He's 34 years old. He was brought in as kind of a mercenary for the Rams to try to, you know, lead them to a championship. And this is really the first taste he's had of any major success on the NFL level. He's had individual successes and always been thought of as a good quarterback in a bad situation, but this is a little different. He's looked at as the savior for this franchise. So I think he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders. Whereas Burrow, you know, Burrow shut off his social media in June. He hasn't tweeted since June 1st. I have here on the record. He's gone on. He was on ESPN the other day talking about how he doesn't know why people sit there and show Instagram workouts. That he's like, when he does workouts, he doesn't want his opponents to know what he's doing, and he also doesn't care what other people think. And I think that that's just, there's a certain mindset there where he's not trying to impress anybody. And I think that that's why they call him. Joe Burr, as in like he's ice cold. And I think it's really just because this is the reputation he's starting to form, that when the game's on the line, he has tunnel vision and he does not care. And so I like them to cover the 4.5. I think that there's a lot of pressure on the Rams, so I don't love that. I think if Stafford gets a little shaky and throws a pick, I think it could start to look really bad for the Rams quickly. Now, I think a lot of things are going well for the Rams. You have their rush defense is awesome. So I think that that's going to be an interesting thing for Mixon to kind of navigate. They've had 52 carries for a total of 162 yards in the playoffs. So they've been able to shut down most people's rush offenses. Now, their own off rush offense is equally as terrible. It's 2.9 yards per carry. But I think as far as game script is concerned, I think it's really going to be pretty pass heavy. Like if you're playing the props market, I like the Stafford and Burrow to be over. I would take unders on the running backs. They could get in the red zones and get touchdowns if you wanted to do the TD props. But yeah, as overall, I don't think the running backs on either side are going to have a tremendous amount of success. And then I think if it ends up being a close game, I like the Bengals. I think that they beat KC twice in January, and KC's, you know, you look at some of the stats for KC the last couple of weeks, they've been letting it up, and since he found a way to beat them twice in a month, and their defense comes to play in big situations. They had stops 8 out of 13 times in the red zone in the playoffs, and 5 inside the 10. They have seven. They've forced 7 turnovers in 3 games, and I just feel like they kind of think they shouldn't be there. And why not them? Why not steal it? So that, and their kicker's on fire. He's 12 for 12 in field goals in the postseason. So that's going to bleed into my props. But yeah, I like a lot of field goals for McPherson. I think kind of a tight game, and I think if there's a tip ball or something, and Stafford gets a pick, I think he's going to start to feel a lot of pressure. Not only his whole career, but the whole city were kind of relying on him. And I don't think there's anything that's going to, you know, get in Burrow's head. The guy got sacked 9 times and still won an NFL playoff game. So that's my game script.
So I really do like Burrow. You mentioned the whole Tennessee sacked him, I think, 9 times. The way he carries himself, and it didn't seem like he was blaming his offensive line. And I think any quarterback that gets sacked that many times has some sort of, you know, thing on them that says like, all right, well, guys, can you block me? He just doesn't seem like that type of guy. So I love Burrow. You mentioned that he has the wide receivers, the running back, and himself. He's definitely confident, but he's so offensive line is just absolutely awful. The average opponent passing defense that since he's faced in these playoffs, I mean, you've had Tennessee that's 10th, KC 19th, and Vegas 25th. LA's ranked 4th as far as allowing the opponent passer rating to be. So they're going to go up against a much better defense. I don't think Chase is going to be much of a guy that actually does well in this game. He's going to be, I think he will be mirrored by what's his nut, and that you do Ramsey. Have Higgins, and you will have other Mixon. I don't think will be that big. I just don't see where the offense comes from on Cincy's side. I mean, since he's faced the easiest schedule of defenses this year, by a wide margin, the last 14 starts that Burrow's had, he's faced one top 10 passing defense. So I just don't think he knows what's coming for him in this game. And it's the biggest game of the season. That's the side I'm looking at. I don't think that I don't think the passing game of the Rams is going to be the big key to this game. I think Cam Akers this is part of my prop bets, you know, one of the larger ones, but for him to win the MVP at plus 3,500, I actually kind of like it. He's coming off of a horrible injury to his Achilles. But if you look at his stats last year in the playoffs, he played Seattle and, oh God, Green Bay. His stats were awesome. So I think McVay is going to actually use him in this game. He hasn't played well in the playoffs, but if you look at against the teams he's played San Francisco twice in the past four games. And then he played Tampa Bay, I'm sorry, is the other one. And then you had Arizona, who just got J.J. Watt back. So I think that he will have a much better stat line when he goes against a Cincy team that against the run, they're not terrible. I think they're averaging about 106 per game, which is actually, I think, a top 10. But I just, I don't know where Cincy's going to get the points. That's why I also like the under in this game. I don't see how Cincy's going to actually score on a consistent basis, but we'll see.
Yeah, a little note on that. I think generally, at least the strategy I'm going to be taking towards the prop market is I'm going for a lot of the secondary guys. So I'm putting money on OBJ to go over his yards. I actually have a prop bet for him to be have the most receiving yards in the game. T. Higgins and Boyd, same thing. I'm going over. I think both the teams are obviously going to key off on Kupp and Chase. So I like the secondary guys. I almost think like also the casual better, I think, will walk in and just be like, I know Chase. I know that name. I'm going to take the over. So I think there's going to be casual betting pushes.
Well, I do think that you do want to go. Well, we'll get into it. But I mean, with Kupp on his receiving yards, I took the under on it. The Bengals love to play a zone, and Stafford is not great against the zone. So I do think that they will be running a lot more, and I don't think Kupp will have nearly as many opportunities to break one, even though it does seem like he broke one every time, every playoff game this far. So,
all right, let's just get right into the props. So I'm leading with, we're each doing five props and we're just going to kind of parry off of each other. My first two props are both field goal related. This is sort of a theme. I think Evan McPherson's a star. He's 12 for 12 for field goals in this postseason, and he's really the reason why they're in this situation, him and Burrow. So I like both. I like over on both of his numbers. I like over 1.5 attempts. I think that's kind of a joke. I think he's going to have three without a beat. If you could alt line that, I would move that up. And then his longest field goal is 47.5. I think that's also a joke. If they're at the 35 and it's, you know, fourth and four, I think they're just kicking a field goal. I think they're just taking points when they can get points. So I like that, both of those props for field goals for Evan McPherson.
Yeah. So for my first prop bet, it's the Cincinnati's first scoring play is going to be a field goal. You can get that at plus 120 at DraftKings. My only concern with this bet is that if it does start getting out of hand, will they start going for it a little bit more? But I could see him scoring a field goal on the first drive and then, you know, that being it. I don't know how you're actually doing two prop bets with field goal kicking, but hey, to each his own, I guess. So my second one's going to be Chase over rushing yards. You can get over 3.5 at FanDuel at minus 110. I think the only way Cincinnati's really going to find success is that Burrow's going to get it out of his hands quickly. And I think that sometimes they're going to do a trick, not necessarily trick play, but I mean, I think like 77% of Burrow's passes come in shotgun. So I think that they got to switch that up a little bit in this game. I think when he's under center, what he's going to do is he's going to hit it quick and either chase, or I'm hoping Chase is going to be the one, because then you hit the over 3.5 to get a screenplay behind the ball. So it's considered run. But you could see in the San Francisco game that the Rams, you know, weren't great at defending screens. You saw Samuel, I think, go for what, a 30, 40 yard screenplay for a touchdown in that game. So I think that's one way you can actually negate Donald and and Von Miller in this game is get it out of Burrow's hands quickly and then negate the whole pass rush on that. So I think that they'll sprinkle in something with Chase like that, and he'll get the over 3.5 somehow.
Okay, so parlaying off of that, I agree with what you're saying. I think the Rams rush defense is gonna make it really challenging for Mixon to get yards. He's an all-pro player. I think they're gonna set up a number of screens and short passes for Mixon out of the backfield to try to keep Donald moving at all times, try to keep Von Miller moving at all times to make sure that they're not keying off on him. So my next prop bet is Mixon over 25.5 receiving yards. I think it's below his average for the year. I'm sorry, the 25.5 is above his average for the year. So it's a little bit of a reach there, but I think it's all about game script. I think that they're going to try to find some creative ways to get him the ball in space to try to, you know, make sure that the pass rush isn't going to be getting to Burrow every play. So my third pick is going to be Mixon over 25.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, so I mean I'm doing the Mixon, but I'm doing the under the 62.5 rushing yards that's on DraftKings at -110. Kind of same situation that I just LA's going to stop the run. So this game is going to be on Burrow, I think, and find different ways of getting his playmakers the ball. Like I said, I think screens, I don't know. Is there a prop bet where you can bet how many screenplays there's going to be in a game? I don't know.
I'm sure there is.
But I think that quick dumps and figure out ways to get, quick, easy passing plays. So I figured that they're not going to have Mixon really run the ball in this game effectively, I should say. So, I like the under 62.5.
All right. On to my next bet. I'm going under 9.5 first quarter points. So since the 1999 season, there have been 22 Super Bowls, and this has gone under 14 of those 22. So I think that you're getting a little value there, even though it is -120 on DraftKings, that you still have basically a 2/3 probability of it going under. And I think it's going to be right in line with this team. I agree. I think the prop you talked about earlier from McPherson, like first scoring for a field goal, I think that's strong. But I could easily see this being a 3-3 first quarter, a 3-0 first quarter, a 7-0. There's not a ton of scenarios. I see this being 10, knowing how everything's going on. So I like under 9.5, at -120 for the first quarter.
Yeah, and my next one's going to be Cam Akers over rushing attempts. You can get over 16.5 at +108. This one's kind of a head scratcher. I thought for sure at 16.5 I'd be at the opposite side. I thought it'd be maybe -110, but the fact that it's kind of it's just a little bit of a head scratcher. I looked at his rushing attempts for the playoffs, and the first game he was splitting carries with Sony Michel, and so that made a sense. But I think after that he had 17 in this last game. It was against San Francisco, and again his yards per rush are not great, but he still I think carried 24 times. So I think McVay is on Akers. That's his guy. That's his man. He's gonna rush the ball. I think that's how you're going to beat Cincinnati in this game. So I think the 16.5 just, it seems low to me, but I don't know. So I mean, maybe I'm missing something. I just don't see it. So I like the fact that I'm actually at plus money on that. So
I think the only thing you could be missing potentially is just the fumbles. Is that
but that's my point though. He had two fumbles in what, the Tampa Bay game. Mm-hmm. And then next week he gets 24 attempts. So he's, and again, these are against really good defensive teams, in particular, really good rush defensive teams. And he's going up against the Cincinnati defense. It's not nearly the challenge that they've had, that he's seen since coming back, I think, in week 18. So I do think that there's going to be a lot of Akers, and I think that bodes well for your first quarter 9.5.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The only thing I would nuance that with is that Sony Michel has Super Bowl experience. If Cam has an early fumble, I could see his carries being chopped down a little bit. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because McVay's had some weird coaching plays. I'm trying to remember if it was the Tampa Bay game or if it was the, I think it was the 49ers game where he's very rarely challenges plays. And then he's challenged, like, I think two in that game where it was just very questionable to actually challenge him. And he's made some interesting calls, but it hasn't killed him yet, but we'll see though.
Yeah. And just to clarify, you said 24 carries. He had 24 carries in the game that he had the two fumbles. The next week against San Francisco, he had 13 carries.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm looking at the box scores now. So against Tampa Bay, he had 24 carries for 48 yards, two fumbles. The next week, he had 13 carries for also 48 yards, no fumble.
The fuck was I looking at? Hold on.
No, I think you just might have skipped a line.
Oh, okay.
So the 24 was just in the game that he had the two fumbles. I mean, whatever. I can cut a bunch of this.
Oh, out. I see. Okay. Yeah. But I see what you're saying. But that's my point, though. I mean, to keep with them on a NFC championship game against a team that you're very familiar with, that does have a really good rush defense. Mm-hmm. I just think it shows that McVay is all in on this on this team in particular. I mean, they brought in Von Miller, they brought in these key players, and he's set in his ways, and he's like, listen, Akers is my guy. I don't care if he makes mistakes. I'm cool with that. He's just coming back from a long injury that he tore his Achilles. He shouldn't be playing. He's a medical miracle, I think. There's zero chance. I can't imagine coming back in the time frame that he did with that injury. It's just, and playing is just nuts to me.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't get me to play like recreational softball after an injury like that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, exactly.
It was back a handful of months later. It's insane.
Yeah.
All right, so on to my last. You have one less left, right?
Yeah, I have one left, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So my last prop bet is I like OBJ for a total passing yards leader for the game at plus 1,100. Like I said before, this is going to be the number one Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls for casual money. You have a number of states that are allowing any donk like myself or whomever to gamble across 7-8 different apps. I think there's going to be so much casual money on the popular names, the people like Cup, people like Chase, people that are household names. OBJ is a household name too, but I think that for a long time, because of Cleveland, his reputation's been marred. And I think that he's been really turning it on in the playoffs. He has 19 receptions on 23 targets. So that's over 80% for 236 yards and a touchdown. I think he could go for 100 yards in this game. And I think at that point, you're in the conversation for most receiving yards. And I think at 11-1, I think that's a really good value. So my long shot for the prop bets is OBJ most passing yards plus 1,100 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I mean, my last one, it's Cooper Kupp. I have under the receiving yards at 105. I think you can get it minus 110 at FanDuel still. I would probably wait until this gets closer to kickoff, because I do think that number is going to climb, could climb into the 110 area. But I've talked about it. I think this is going to be more of a rushing game plan for them. And also I think that way since his defense, how they drop, drop all guys back, and they actually rush with three sometimes. So I think this is an Akers game, and I don't think Kupp's going to be the stud he has been this entire season, and definitely throughout these playoffs. So it's just not a good game plan for him, I think. So
all right, now I think we can kind of jump into sort of any other bets that we have. So we can kind of just trade off here. So here's a weird stat I came across when I was doing some research. So coin toss defers. This is basically NFL wide, but I have the stats here for Zach Taylor and for McVay. So McVay in his career is 48 for 48 for winning the coin toss and deferring. And Zach Taylor, in 27 times that he's won the coin toss, he's deferred 26 of the times. So it's basically going off at about 99%. And the odds on BetMGM are minus 500 for winning the coin toss and deferring. Minus 500 is not an exciting bet. But when you have a 99% probability of it happening, I think that's pretty strong. So that's one of my sort of random, it's not something I'm putting in a best bets, but it's a tidbit I came across that's interesting.
Again, I keep talking about it, but I do think, and I did look back, it's a very, very high low probability of it actually hitting, but I have Akers actually to win the MVP. The thing that I did find interesting between the two books I look at, FanDuel and DraftKings, the number was drastically different. FanDuel had it at 2,700 and DraftKings had it at 3,500. So that's just a lesson to, you know, newbies at this whole thing. You got to shop everything. I mean, if you don't have, I only deal with two and I think that that's low. There's a reason about it. I'm not going to get into that, but next football season, I'll probably have more than that. But I just keep going back. I just think that the game plan sets up for Akers. If you're not going to do a Akers thing, I don't think you look at Cooper Kupp. You definitely have to look at the quarterbacks, because I mean they lead the way on MVPs. I mean, it almost goes in like 3 or 4 years that it's QB, 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 and then someone random. But even the stats of like a wide receiver, I don't even know the last time a running back actually won the MVP. They don't have to be stellar. I mean, I think Edelman got it with 10 for 144 with no touchdowns. The fact that he didn't get a touchdown is crazy, but 10 receptions is pretty nuts, but that's the only person that Brady had to throw that year, I think.
He also made one unbelievable catch during during that run.
You do have to think that it's got to be something spectacular. The guy that won on the defensive end for New England with that interception against Russell Wilson that year, I think won it because of that.
No, he didn't win it that year. Brady won it.
You sure?
Yeah.
I know that there was a defensive guy that won it up for New England. Yeah,
Malcolm Butler is the guy who cut off in the end zone to win the Super Bowl. He didn't actually win it that year. Brady won it that year.
Oh, I thought, okay. All right, fact-checking me already. All right, all right.
Yeah, you can look it up, Malcolm Butler.
No, I'm saying you're fact-checking me.
I know. I'm just reiterating the facts. So just the last handful of years, Tom Brady won it last year. Mahomes won it before that. Edelman won it before that. Then Foles, Brady again. Von Miller won it for Denver.
I gotcha. I see what you're saying.
Brady, Malcolm Smith, another linebacker for Seattle, won it. Flacco, Eli. Yeah, it's mostly quarterbacks. But I will say that this kind of goes into a bet that I was looking at too. I think this is kind of a weird year for somebody to not win it that's a quarterback. I'm sorry, to win it that's not a quarterback. Because you have somebody like Aaron Donald, who is basically renowned as the best player, period, in the NFL, regardless of position. And then you have Cooper Kupp, who's putting together the best wide receiver season of all time, and he's something like 60 yards away from having the most receiving yards in postseason history. So he's going to have the best postseason and regular season in the same year. And Chase has been the superstar rookie. There's other players. I mean, there's people like Mixon, McPherson. There's a lot of people in here that can mix it up. So I actually kind of like the +230 for any non QB to win it. I don't think the chances are great, but at +230, it's kind of a fun flyer because you get the whole field to root for. If Donald goes out there and gets like, you know, three sacks or something, and one of them's, you know, a safety, something like that. McPherson hits 4 field goals and it's a super low scoring game. If it's like, you know, 19-14 or something, and he accounts for 12 points. There's some interesting stuff there. So I thought that was kind of, I think this is an outstanding year for other people that are not the quarterback to win it, but you're probably right. If you're looking at it history wise, it's most likely going to be a quarterback.
Yeah. It's very rarely not. And it makes sense. But I'm with you. It seems like this year is going to be a little bit different. They got a team in there that, in my opinion, shouldn't be in there.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that's why I find it interesting that you're on Cincy in this game. I really find it very interesting because logically, they don't make sense. They're still in rebuilding mode. They still have no offensive line. I don't know. So I won't get into it. I'm shocked that when I saw the number immediately, I was just like, that doesn't make any sense. And then, you know, you're saying you're on Cincy. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. But you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think this game's close. I really don't. I think this is one of those Super Bowls that we're going to be turning off by the third quarter and be like, hey, I got an early morning tomorrow morning. That's how I look at this game. It's not going to be fun to watch, I think. But I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But I still hope I win by four.
I think Super Bowls are a little weird when you have, you know, Flacco being anointed as, you know, Flacco signing like something like $120 million contract right after the Super Bowl because he played a great postseason. You have Eli Manning beating the best offense in NFL history.
Eli Manning's a good guy. He makes good commercials.
you have Nick Foles who is playing backup to Wentz and ended up going for a championship. Like there's a little bit of a track record of cold-blooded quarterbacks on heaters and just riding it out. And I don't know. I think there's a chance for Sunday to be really special.
All right.
With fucking Burrow's terrible glasses. His attire. That's why I'm choosing this game. He's got
swag. There's no doubt about it.
His swag. He does not give a fuck. And somebody who dresses that awful and still just like, you know, rides to die for it. I'm going with that guy. This is the Gardner Minshew. I made a joke that Gardner Minshew started a game for Philly this year in a game he won. And when Hurts went down, I didn't even realize that Gardner was on the team, I think, at the time. And then I was like, yeah, you know, like Hurts is gone. They're going to be on a backup. And I bet against them. And then I saw Gardner Minshew's pregame like attire. And I was like, oh, this guy's going to win by 100. He looks like a fucking pimp rolling in here. I was like, there's just no chance he's going to lose. If you have so much confidence, you can dress that terrible in public consistently. You don't give a fuck what other people think. And when you're in the huddle and when you're, you know, in the fourth quarter and you're down by four with 90 seconds left, I think that kind of stuff matters. And I think some people just don't feel it. And I think Joe Burrow is in that category. And I think on the opposite side, I think Stafford, there's some scenarios where he could definitely feel it. I think him being brought in, like I said before, like almost like a mercenary as like a, you know, heck, hey, we loaded up for this 1 year. We have all these high paying guys. We're throwing everybody, all of our chips into one corner. You know, you're our guy. You've come from a losing team. We've seen a lot of talent and all this stuff. We're going to, you know, put all our chips behind you. And I like Stafford. I think he's a talented guy, but I think that if some ball gets tipped and he gets picked, I think that the chances of him having a precipitous drop off from that point versus Burrow, I think is the giant chasm.
Yeah, I get that. But then he also has a defense that can back him up.
You're right.
I think that's the biggest key. It could rattle him, but you still got to go through a defense that arguably is the best in the league. And again, Casey, Cincinnati has not seen a defense like this. I think they're in for a reawakening personally, but
yeah, they could be, for sure.
We'll see. I just think we're going to be in for a stinker. We've been so lucky to see this playoffs, you know, play out the way it has. I think we're in for a stinker. It's going to be like last year. What was it, like 31-10, 30? I don't know, something like that. I think we're going to be, and we're, you know, we can't wait for soccer to start back up.
I wish people were just seeing the text message I sent you. I was like, yo, FanDuel's running this promotion. I tried to figure it out. It's literally Portuguese to me. Just send me whatever you're doing. I was like, I don't even care. I don't care if you thought it through. I don't care if it makes no sense. I was like, you know, under corners, I was like, they're tracking how many times somebody else kicks it out of bounds. I was like, this sport's so fucking terrible. I was like, just send me a screenshot.
No, that's a good point. The fact that you can bet on how many corners are actually, you're telling me that's like, I'm cheering on whether or not the ball's out by the defense or something. Yeah. Like that. It is pretty lame. There's very, very few. But yeah, I told you I was pretty confident in that SGP, so.
It's like the NBA, like if you were allowed to same game parlay, like how many times James Harden flops to get a call. Like if flops were measured in the stock score, that's what it's like. You got anything else?
No, we just got to figure out if we want to do a post Super Bowl podcast. Say bye to everyone.
Yeah,
you know, fuck it. We need to do something for March Madness. So we need to start getting better on this. So.
I can't believe we've gone 39 minutes on one game, whereas we used to go like on like 10 games. All right, we're gonna end with one sentence life advice: ravioli. Don't buy it at a restaurant. It makes no fucking sense. Dude, it is the worst.
One sentence.
Quantity over quality is terrible.
So many questions, but
you'll be disappointed.
I'll be upset that I don't ask them.
So quantity over quality. Italian restaurants. It's a giant scam. Don't order ravioli.
Yeah, that's more than one sentence.
All right, we'll catch you guys on the flip side. We'll do a little recap after the Super Bowl, and we'll what we're gonna do is, based on how fluid a lot of these bets are, we're gonna put up our odds for the props that we listed today on social, on Instagram, Twitter, Live to Grasp, and
TikTok.
TikTok, whatever the fuck. So we're going to throw them up on social on Sunday morning or Saturday afternoon, something like that. So then when they've settled out a little bit more. But then we'll do a little contest between us, whatever.
Sounds good.
All right. Love you, Davey.
Good luck.
Take care, guys.